pastors in this church, the elders, and all of us once again for turning up this morning to worship the Lord in His sanctuary. And I believe, God, we shall be blessed. Amen. Today I want us to study the Word of God from a few scriptures. I will lean the First Chronicles chapter number 29. First Chronicles chapter number 29, verses 10 to 20. And then we'll also read a scripture in the book of Mark 10 and another one, First Peter. And then we shall hear from the Lord. The Bible says, if you are there with me, 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 to 20, I'll read with you. Therefore, David blessed the Lord before all the assembly and said, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head of all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as shadow and without hope. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build your house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own. I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pressure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now, with the joy, I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the intent of the thoughts of the heart of your people, and fix their heart toward you. And give my son Solomon a loyal heart to keep your commandments and your testimonies and your statutes, to do all these things and to build the temple for which I have made provision. Then David said to all the assembly, now bless the Lord your God. So all the assembly blessed the Lord God of their fathers and bound their hands and prostrated themselves before the Lord and the king. Then we go to the book of Mark. Gospel of Mark, chapter number 10, we read verses 17 to 22. If you're there, we read together. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. Verse 22, but he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then we'll turn to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 4, verses 7 to 11, And we lean together once again. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And as the theme of our here is making disciples, last week when I was here on Sunday, we covered on the integrity of character as a way of discipling, or as one of the character of a disciple. And today I want to move a step further and speak on disciple and money management. Disciple and money management. And from the scriptures that we have learned this morning, I'll bring to you some facts. And then I believe at the end of it, God will give us an election of the way how to manage ourselves on the assigned of money as the disciples of God. Praise the name of the Lord. And I say in disciple and management of money management, when we talk of a disciple, we are talking of a learner of Christ. Hallelujah. We do not necessarily refer to this to somebody who has come to know Christ now. We continuously are disciples of Christ as much as we live. Praise the name of the Lord. We continue to learn how to be Christ-like until we are perfected when He comes for us in His second coming. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So when we are talking about money management, management, according to me, I'll take it to be effective. Hallelujah. Effective utilization or use of money or resources. Hallelujah. To obtain a particular objective or to obtain a particular purpose is effective utilization. That is good management, because management can be good way, bound all good. But what we are talking about today, we want to emphasize on the good management, especially for money as a disciple. Hallelujah. So we are talking about the effective use or utilization of money for the purpose that is intended to. And the Bible will look at it in another way as stewardship. When we talk about management in the biblical terms, mostly we look at it as stewardship, because stewarding, you are not necessarily managing your own things or your own money. Praise the name of the Lord. We are coming from the background that God is the giver of all that we own. Hallelujah. In the book of Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18, the Bible reminds us, and remember, and do not forget the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to make wealth. So how you utilize or how you manage money as a disciple, as a learner of Christ, must be from the understanding that what you have, you do not have it by your own strength. You do not have it by your own power. There is somebody who has given you the power to make that wealthy. Praise the name of the Lord. Because when you understand the source of what you have, it will also give you a glimpse or an direction of how you can handle that which you have. Praise the name of the Lord. Because when you understand it is God who gives you money, if you understand it is God who gives you that you have, even in the back of your mind as you handle it, you will handle it under the fear of God.
You will seek reverence to him and seek directions to him. And that is what is come unto us as the disciples of Christ. Every time to keep it into our mind or in our heart that what we have does not come from our power, does not come from our wisdom, does not come from the strength or the knowledge or the wisdom that we have as human beings, but it is God who gives us power to make wealthy. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So it is very, very much important to understand that. And from the scripture that we have learned in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter number 29, we are given a story. And it's not surely a story, it was a prayer that King David was making. The King David was among the examples in the Bible of the people who are rich. I think three are mentions. There is Job in the book of Job chapter 1 verse 3. Job is reckoned as one of the greatest men in the East. Yes, the Bible accounted him to be a man of integrity, to be a man who was not taken over by the riches that he had. But he continuously found to God. He honored, he feared God. He managed the riches well, that the riches could not mislead him into his ways or his life with God. Praise the name of the Lord. Another one was Solomon, the son of David. But David in this particular position, it was the time he was handing over. He was handing over to his son Solomon. And one of the greatest desire of David was to build that temple for God. And he collected a lot of resources. He collected silver, gold, and many other things so that he can have that objective met. Hallelujah. He sacrificed, he set aside along his life, along his needs in life. He managed the resources, he managed the money so that he could set aside a good amount that he could give for the building of the temple of God. And from this prayer which he was making to God, you know, when you are facing God, you have to be clear. You have to be open because God knows you. And I believe even ourselves, when you go to the prayer closet, that is the moment you open your heart and somebody can understand exactly what is in your heart. Because we are sincere before God. And from this prayer, we can see the sincerity. We can see the intentions. We can see what was in the heart of David. Hallelujah. We can see from this prayer that whatever David was bringing forth as a sacrifice for the building of the temple, he was doing it from a heart of gratitude. And before I come to that, I would want to say there are a few views that we normally have on money. Hallelujah. I will tackle only three. There's a view that riches are evil. And that's why in the church, when we have people who fear God, and God blesses them with money, some of us go behind and we say, this one is a devil worshipper. Have you heard it nowadays? We don't believe that God can bless. Let me tell you, the Bible says everything good comes from God. Riches for the children of God come from God. God can give you a lot. Hallelujah. We have that problem. People start questioning, how did he come to get this money? God can give. Hallelujah. Can uplift. There is that few. And so those who are in faith, they believe being poor is being hoary. That is not true. That is being controlled by the spirit of poverty. And actually, that is one of the bondages that Christ Jesus went on Calvary to break. Hallelujah. And there's a scripture, 2 Corinthians, chapter Corinthians 8:9 says, for the grace that was in Christ, for yet when he was rich in dying poor, he was poor so that we can be rich. Hallelujah. The other view is that money or richness is as a result of our hard work. You have to work hard for you to get money. Yes, you have to work. But working hard does not necessarily mean you get riches. And the people in this field, they are carried away by pride. These are the people, when they see the poor, they think these people are poor because they do not work hard. And because of that fear, you are not in a position to discharge one of the good responsibilities as a good steward of money, as a disciple.
Hallelujah.
There's another also false view that being rich is an approval by God. We have seen it, being wealthy as a way that you're blessed. That is also not a good view. It's a false view. And that's why we are having many people believing or claiming things. You are in prayer 24/7 in 1 year, believing God for riches. Because you believe unless you are rich, unless you have a lot of money, you accumulated wealth, then you are not blessed of God. But all these are not the truth. Hallelujah. For one, God did not create a poor man. God did not create a rich man. God created man. And in every man he put ability that he can be able to progress well. I don't know whether I'm running out of time. Hallelujah. But I'm coming to conclude. Hallelujah. So in these scriptures, you find David used the resources, used the money that he earned to glorify God. He earned a gratitude. He was thankful. He was grateful. He recognized that God and given him all that he had. Even what he was coming to offer to God in terms of sacrifice, he was telling God, this is what you have given unto me. And this is the view that as a disciple of Christ, we must take. The other band example of the young ruler, rich ruler, who met Christ and inquired of how he can get the kingdom of God, or he can inherit the kingdom of God. When Jesus addressed him on the terms of obeying the laws, he admitted that he followed them. But when Jesus turned to him and told him, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and then you will be able to put treasures in the kingdom of heaven. This man was sorrowful. He could not agree. We could agree to follow Christ, but he could not agree to give what he earned. Praise the name of the Lord. There are many in the church even today. You are there. You can come to the service. You can participate in any other thing. But the moment the position or the portion of money is touched, when you are told to give towards a particular thing in the church, you are sorrowful. You say, yes, pastor, I can understand and hear everything that you say, but on this, I don't think I'm going to give it. As a disciple of Christ, it is good to understand all that you have belongs to God. And you should manage it with a feel that it belongs to God. When God wanted in his house for the development, give it to the house of God. When God wants you to give to the poor so that you can improve their lives, give it to the poor. And as we conclude, in the book of 1 Peter chapter number 4, he is bringing another perspective. He is telling people, we are coming to the end of this life. And the money or the wealth that you have, however you accumulate it, you can never carry it into the next domain of our living, of our eternity. Praise the name of the Lord. It is for you to minister to others in this life. It is for you to share the love of Christ through. Because when you uplift the lives of other people, when you minister to other people's needs, that is the purpose as why God has given you that resource. And he was telling people, as you are able, minister. As God has given you ability, minister to other people. And it is for the purpose, for this only purpose, that God has entrusted us with riches. So as disciples of Christ, we should avoid to be taken captive by the money, by the wealth that God has given us. But every time, let's attribute it to God as the giver. And when we attribute it to God as the giver of all that we have, How we handle money will glorify God. How we handle money will bring many people to the knowledge of our God. How we handle money will bring praises and honor to our God, and we shall be blessed. Let's stand on our feet. Hallelujah. There's a lot that I could cover, but we have time limitations. I believe God has spoken to us this morning. I don't know what fear you have in the area of money and your faith, but God has spoken to us this morning. Reflect upon that word, and within a minute, you can turn to God. If there is an area that you need His help, He will help you. But the key point this morning is that what you have is totally from God. He is the ultimate giver. And you need to attribute its management or its handling to Him alone. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for you have spoken to us. My Father, you have given us resources. You have given us finances. Help us to keep it, O God, in our hearts, that all that we have comes from you. And we ought to manage it, O God, with a fear and with the fear of you. Help us, O God, in the areas of our weaknesses, that, O God, in the management of our resources and our wealth, we shall bring honor and glory to you. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Hallelujah. You could be seated. As once more, we give a round of applause to God.